listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
In our old house, we used to have a backyard with a nice fence around it. It wasn't real high fence, just a kind of a waist-high fence. It was a fence that I could easily have stepped over. And that fence surrounded our backyard in a way that kind of made us feel like we had marked off our area. The fence was there before we moved in. It was a great place to have our dog and have the kids play. Now, our neighbors were lovely people, but our neighbors had this habit of following their dog wherever their dog might wander. Now, the dog was on a leash, but they would just follow the dog no matter where the dog chose to go, including into people's yards and including one time into our backyard. I remember it because my daughter was a little concerned that somebody was in the backyard. So I went out back to investigate, and it was dark, and I had to look around, and I saw this person in our backyard, and I said, "Hey, can I help you?" And it turned out I was just our neighbor, and our neighbor announced that they were just back there with the dog because the dog had wanted to go back there. I said, "Well, I understand that," which, by the way, I didn't, "but it's a little dark, it's a little late, and it kind of startled my daughter, so I would appreciate it if maybe you didn't do that." So they eventually left with their dog, and we began the habit of closing the gate to the fence. We never thought about that before, but we always closed the gate to the fence, assuming that that would keep them out. Now, why am I telling you about this fence? Well, because I believe that fence is a really good model, kind of a metaphor for boundaries. A boundary is something you use to protect yourself and to protect your marriage. But it's not a wall. It really is a fence. It really is just a way of marking what's important and to say, "This is my area. I would prefer it if you stay on your area." In my Thriveology podcast and in lots of my material, I've talked about how to maintain your boundaries. In fact, in my work, my Save the Marriage system, I have an entire section on how to protect your boundaries. And the reason is because boundaries are one of those areas that seem to fall apart in many marriages. You see, a boundary is the no to others, and it's also the no to yourself. It's a reminder of the behavior you expect of yourself. So in that backyard, we knew to stay in our area. That was in our yard. And so if we were playing ball, we tried to keep the ball within our area, our yard, so we weren't going into other people's areas. And we were hoping that neighbors wouldn't come into our area. Obviously, we could step over. If I kicked a ball over the fence, I could go get it. I could just step over. And really, our neighbors obviously could come in spite of that fence, but it was a marker. And what it said to others was, "Come no closer. This is our area unless I invite you in." For a self, a boundary is a way of saying, "I'm not going there." It's one of my favorite phrases, both in mental thoughts and in physical actions, of "I'm not going there." You know, sometimes we choose to keep following up on thoughts. And by the way, there are boundaries around thoughts too. And sometimes you just have to say, "You know, I'm not going to go there." And then there are times when maybe actions are getting out of hand and we have to say, "I'm not going there." This is a reflection of our values and the way we protect the relationship and ourselves. Okay, so let's go a little bit deeper in each of those areas. Now, personal boundaries I have covered, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. But what we're talking about here is not those personal ones like "don't yell at me," but how do I take those personal boundaries and apply it to the situations I have so that I can protect my standards. For instance, you may have a standard that you're going to be honest with your spouse. And so if you have boundaries to keep you from having to violate that because there's nothing you can't tell your spouse, that's an important part of a personal boundary. But it is also what you will not let others do to you. So your boundaries are what you kind of expect of your own behavior, the behavior you won't overstep, that represents your standards. And it's also your boundaries of what you won't let other people do to you. Both of those apply. And those are very important things as individuals that we are clear about our boundaries. Now, I will tell you that on a daily basis in my practice, both my coaching practice and in my therapy practice when I was a therapist, I worked every day with people who weren't even sure what a boundary was and had no idea that they needed to manage it. Many times people would come in and say, you know, such and such is doing that to me. What do I do to get him to stop? And my response is, you set a boundary. And they usually wanted that other person to respect them without having to say it. But the thing about a boundary is nobody else is there to protect your boundaries but you. And nobody is there to protect your marital boundaries but you and your spouse. So what is a marital boundary? A marital boundary is what you will not do and what you will not let others do in order to protect your relationship. Now, not really to protect your spouse, but that is the offshoot of that. It's to protect the relationship. And that's an important distinction because a lot of times people get talking about boundaries and they think they're doing things for their spouse instead of for the relationship. Yes, the spouse is included in that. But a broader context means it's about me because I'm part of that relationship. It's not for just my spouse. It's for the us, the we, as I talk about it. And in the process, you probably make your spouse feel pretty secure about where you are and what you're doing and how you're conducting yourself in the process. So now we're talking about this immutable law of marriage, that boundaries protect a marriage. Boundaries are what keep our marriage from getting into trouble. So when you interact with others, part of how we choose to interact with others and how we choose to let our mental energies run is based on the boundaries we choose. I've talked about this in other settings too, and I've done podcasts on infidelity, that the roots of infidelity really come from a lack of boundaries and a lack of connection. Both have to be there. So just for a second, let me just kind of divert into that for a minute. When I'm talking about connection, we humans are wired to need connection. We are desperate for that connection. It's part of being human. We need that connection with somebody else. And so part of what happens in a marriage that's a connection-starved marriage is that sometimes people begin to look elsewhere for the connection that's missing. But there's another piece at play. Because here's the real thing about connection. In any relationship, no matter how strong, there are going to be times when the connection waxes and wanes, when the tide is higher of connection and lower of connection. Maybe it has to do with the spouse being busy with something. Maybe it has to do with an illness in the family, or maybe it has to do with travels or some other reason. But there are plenty of times in a marriage, just in a naturally healthy marriage, where the connection comes and goes, when there's more connection and less connection. So what do you do when there's less connection? And what do you do when there is enough connection, but you haven't been careful? That's the boundaries. The boundaries insulate the marriage when the connection, no matter where the connection is, the boundaries keep the relationship safe. I've seen plenty of disconnected relationships, disconnected marriages, where there is no infidelity because both have committed to the boundaries of the relationship. I've also seen marriages where the connection is strong and yet somebody got too close to somebody else and something happened in that process. So in order to protect the relationship, there needs to be effort on the connection, but the boundaries truly protect a marriage no matter where the connection is. There are some risks of not holding on to the boundaries. So let's talk about that just for briefly. Three ways that I think that boundaries kind of begin to hold the risk down. The first risk is energy seepage. Energy seepage. Think about that in terms of your house. You have wires running through your house that are carrying electricity, and around those wires, there is insulation. Now, part of the reason for the insulation is to make sure that nothing catches fire from being in contact with that wire, and the other part is to make sure that there's no energy seepage. This is even more true on the big power lines that go down the road. If the line was bare, then as time went on, as distance went on, there'd be more and more energy lost that needed to get to the end place, that needed to get to the user on the other end, the consumer. And so part of what happens when there's not a protection of the relationship is there's energy seepage. Maybe you're sharing emotional energy with somebody else and you don't need to because it's taking it away from your marriage. Or maybe that energy seepage is in your mindset, your thoughts, because you keep thinking, what if I did this? What if I moved towards that other person? What if I pursued this possibility? What if I responded to that Facebook comment? What and all of those places that can pull us away, our mental energy can pull us away. It's kind of also like the insulation that goes on the pipes, the water pipes in your house. So it starts as hot water coming out of that hot water heater. And if it's not insulated, it turns cold before it ever gets to your spigot. And you want hot water, right? You want some heat there. And that's true in the relationship. If there's a whole lot of loss of that hotness in the relationship, it cools down even more. And so the energy seepage begins to break down the connection. When we don't protect the relationship, when the connection is not there, more and more the seepage, the energy seepage, the emotional energy of each person is lost to something else. The second thing that happens is the contamination of the relationship. Now, the contamination of the relationship is a little different because it really is about making sure the plumbing is coming from the right place. You know, what if you were to hook your clean water up to the sewage, and that's what's coming through your pipes because you haven't kept the contamination clear? It's kind of like when we let other people interfere in our relationships. The first part, that energy seepage, is often what happens when we find somebody else, a friend who maybe becomes more than a friend, that we're sharing too much of our emotional life with them and not enough with our spouse. The second, the contamination can come because we begin to allow others to impact us, maybe in-laws or friends who feel a need to tell us how we should be having the marriage, and we are asking and we are accepting their feedback. Many times, the biggest problem a marriage has is that the energy is not kept within the couple, and they have contamination because they're allowing others to tell them how they should be living their relationship rather than relying on each other to make that decision. And the third way that boundaries can keep us out of trouble is because when we don't hold the boundaries, we begin to break the promises and commitments that we make. This is what happens in an affair when somebody gets too close to somebody else, and that is certainly a violation of the promises and commitments made in the vows of most weddings, if not almost all weddings, and it creates at least inappropriate relationships many times. These are the emotional affairs that often develop and the physical affairs that can develop too when we allow people to get too close. That wiring for connection can really catch us if we're not keeping it in the right place. So, just to kind of be clear, these boundaries are not about permission from a spouse. They're really more about clarification with a spouse. Sometimes I've had people say, wait, you're telling me I have to ask permission to my spouse if I'm going to send an email? And my response is, not so much permission as clarification. Not so much permission as being clear about what that note's about and how your spouse is going to feel about it if they were to discover it later, and how you do it. So how do we break this law, this immutable law of marriage? Well, one way is we don't even know about the concept. Many times I'm talking to people about boundaries, and I see the blank look. They're not even clear about what I mean by boundaries. So the concept of a boundary is like the fence. It protects the relationship, and we mark that and choose our boundaries consciously. But we have to choose them, which leads us to the second way we break the law. We don't even discuss them. A lot of times we don't discuss them because we don't think to, we don't know about the concept, and we don't think to early enough on until something's going wrong. In the beginning stages of every relationship, and I know this having been in a relationship myself and done many, many years of premarital counseling, is they can never conceive at that point that anything could contaminate the relationship, or that there could be a lack of insulation around the relationship, or that there might need to be more clear boundaries put on the relationship, and so they don't discuss them. In fact, many times I've had the blank look, premarital. They might understand the concept of boundaries, but when I ask them premaritally, what are the boundaries y'all have discussed about how you will keep your relationship safe, they often haven't had any discussion around that. It's always best to have that discussion early on because I know the next time that relationship's going to happen, and that's when a boundary is crossed. That's when that discussion comes up again. A boundary has been crossed and the relationship has been hurt, and then it's a defensive conversation. So the second way is that people don't discuss them. That's how we break that law. The third way we break that law is we choose to break the boundaries, or at least stretch them to the point of breaking. And that's when we do things that we know are probably a little bit too close, and we still do it anyway because we choose that. And I say that very clearly. We are choosing that. Many people rationalize that it was beyond them. They can't help it. They didn't know what happened. But we're choosing to break that. So how do we bring a relationship back into obeyance of this law? Remember, the law is that boundaries protect a marriage. So the first way we get back into it is to clarify the boundaries for the self, regardless of what your spouse is doing. If you're thinking, wow, you know what? I do not understand what these boundaries are about, but I do recognize I need to strengthen them. Or maybe you say, I understand the concept, but I haven't worked on them. Let me invite you to grab my Save the Marriage system and read about boundaries and understand fully how to set the boundaries. It's a very simple process. It's not an easy process, but it's a very simple process. So what I'm now saying is that you clarify your boundaries for yourself, regardless of whether your spouse is choosing to clarify those boundaries, choosing to set those boundaries. A lot of times we say, hey, if my spouse isn't going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Well, that's just two people pushing the relationship closer and closer to the edge. One can make a change, and one can make a change around the boundaries just by saying, I'm going to abide by the boundaries I know, which leads us to number two. We can always strengthen our boundaries. Now, I could have left my neighbors in the backyard and let them think that it was always okay to go in our backyard, or I could go out and say, notice the fence? That's because it's our backyard, and by the way, I now close the gate. And so part of what we can always do is strengthen our boundaries, make them a little clearer, maybe make them a little more strictly held. We can value them more and recognize that boundaries keep us in good shape in our relationship and in our personal life. They leave us feeling protected because we've managed to keep people from getting close enough to hurt us or the relationship. The third thing is that when the relationship is stable, this is the time to discuss and clarify it as a couple. Many times in the midst of an affair, an emotional affair, or a physical affair, somebody will say, do you think I should bring this up to my spouse and try to clarify our boundaries? And my response is, they're not going to clarify them at this point. They're already breaking them, and so you're basically saying, you're already over the line, now let's draw the line behind you. They're not going to be willing to do that, but when things stabilize, it's a great time in a relationship as part of a recovery process. Or before a relationship gets into trouble, it's a great time to have a discussion about what each person wants out of a boundary. After the boundary is being broken and when you're in the midst of a crisis, it's a very difficult time to have that conversation. So you wait until it's restabilized. The fourth is that you abide by the boundaries you've agreed upon. No hedging, no gray areas. You abide by the boundaries. And the fifth way is you stay in contact with each other, especially when you think there might be a low connection, especially when you think that somebody might be close to the boundary violation, even if it's you. So what are some ideas about these boundaries? Well, I would suggest that you look immediately to social media as one place. How do you interact with other people? On Facebook, on Twitter, by email? How do you interact with other people who might be of interest to you? I would say of the opposite sex, but this applies to all serious relationships. So if you're in a serious relationship, how do you manage to keep others who are potentially interested in you or to whom you might be potentially interested at arm's length? That's the big piece. How do you decide that? I can tell you, for example, that in Facebook interactions, before I've had any contact with a prior relationship, I will say to my wife, how do you feel about this? A prior girlfriend had a response about her parent dying on Facebook. And I said, hey, how do you feel about me reaching out and just saying, hey, I remember your parents and thinking about them? And it was fine for her. And part of the reason it was fine for her is because we've clarified that over and over about what's okay in the communication. so she feels safe, but I wanted to keep her updated. I wanted to make sure that we were having a conversation about that so there are no surprises. So messaging is one of those areas you want to clarify. How do you communicate with somebody else in those? What is okay to be shared? One of the rules I think is important is to keep relationship talk in the relationship. If you're having a problem with a spouse, you don't share it with somebody else. You talk about it with your spouse. When you begin talking about the problems in your relationship, you have crossed a boundary in my book. Unless you're talking with a coach or a therapist or a minister or somebody who can give you some advice, you've crossed a boundary. You've dragged other people into it and dragged your spouse out of it. Or what about eating with somebody the opposite sex? Maybe you say, you know, as my work habits are, I have to eat lunch with people of the opposite sex or people who you have a potential attraction to. I have to do that. Well, how do you keep it safe? Maybe you decide to do it in a very public venue or only with somebody else present or only at lunch. What do you do when you travel to make sure you stay out of harm's way? Maybe you decide you can't be in a bar at certain hours because people are there for different reasons at those hours. In other words, look for the danger spots and decide to set the boundaries ahead of time for those danger spots. The boundaries you and your spouse agree upon are the ones that you and your spouse agree upon. So I just give you a few examples of areas and ways of thinking about it, not the boundaries themselves. Those aren't the boundaries. They're the boundaries I think might be important, but they don't have to be the ones you think are important. But you and your spouse need to look at those boundaries, agree upon them, and then enforce them. Make sure that whatever boundaries you create actually do serve to protect your relationship. They're far enough in that the relationship is very secure, even when the connection is low. The immutable law of marriage today is boundaries protect a marriage. And the next piece of that is, so make sure that you're creating and abiding by those boundaries. If this has been helpful, but you find yourself a little bit lost, you might find that the Save the Marriage system at SaveTheMarriage.com is exactly what you need to get you back on track. If you need more help, let me know. You can email me, Lee@SaveTheMarriage.com, and say, hey, I think I need a little more help. You might be a great person to get some help from the virtual coaching program or even some direct coaching, but I can direct you in that. Just email me, Lee@SaveTheMarriage.com, and put in the subject line, boundaries, what now? This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.